Madam President, I would like to see if the board would consider having item 9.03 presented with item 8.03. There's quite a bit of overlap, and in some respects, we would be approving things in item 8.03 before they're explained to us in item 9.03. So, if that's a acceptable suggestion.
Is that all right with everybody?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, Measure D, RFQ, RFP for lease back.
The electronic agenda shows it on Friday before we published. We added that item after I had printed that copy.
Oh, okay.
I will move approval.
Second.
Mrs. Rogers, did you have?
No, I was going to make a motion, but that's fine.
Aye.
I move approval.
I'll second.
All right. Excuse me. Good afternoon, board. Good afternoon, community. Started out, congratulations to the teachers who are retiring. I know I've had many a great teacher here in the district so far. I know for the students they've had and the coworkers they've also worked with, we're going to be sad to see you go. This week at Morro Bay, we brought back our teacher appreciation breakfast. ASB woke up at 6:30 on a late start Monday, too, which is very hard to do. And believe me, I had a hard, tough time myself. The students nominated the teachers, which is different from what happened in the past also. And then after feeding them a nice pancake breakfast, we went and stood up and told all their upstanding qualities about our teachers. Then after that, we ran our student DJ dance that I talked about during our last meeting. Very popular event. The students seem to enjoy having their own students run the event compared to bringing in a DJ from an outside source. So it looks like in the future we're going to try and extend these type of programs, let the students get more involved, actually run their events. Also creates more of a community sense around them. Morro Bay's band in Los Osos Middle Schools, they played at the PAC Theater this Sunday, if any of you were in attendance. It was one of the largest and well-attended band performances they've had so far. For example, myself, I had trouble finding seats, got stuck up at the top. Sounded great, though, however. Their seniors are starting their goodbye, as me and Jono will be able to relate with very well. Our senior tribute night was put there on Tuesday. That's where we began scholarships and outstanding achievement awards. Any of the board members, and along with the community, too, they're welcome to come and see the exemplary students we have in Morro Bay. Also, we have a ravine water park outing coming out on Wednesday. Jono's still trying to work on getting you in there. And then finally, graduation is on Thursday at 5:30. And again, just like senior tribute night, the board members, we would love to see you there. Community also. We love any type of attention we can get to come and appreciate the seniors going out. And then to the sad part where I might start crying, try not to. We want to say, me and Jono, thank you for having us here. Community, thank you for at least being vaguely interested in what we're saying. You've all done a great job, including the board, of at least looking a little bit interested in humoring us with us trying to speak in front of the public. So to that, I'd like to end it and say thank you once again. It's been a great opportunity to be here in front of you. Yeah, I'll be heading up to UC Santa Cruz, so not too far away, but far enough to feel disconnected from the county here. It'll be sad to go, but exciting futures.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, John, I'm expecting you have a full-length movie and an entourage and getting some...
It's a four-act play.
All right.
Actually, more than opera. Actually, as a gift, a parting gift, I have a very short list of things to talk about, but knowing me, it'll be a lot longer than it looks on paper. So this weekend we had prom. It was a huge success. We had a huge turnout, a lot bigger than we've had in years before, and it was a circus-esque theme, and it was really cool. We tried out a new DJ company that's based in SLO. They gave us this great deal just to show what they could do, and they really wowed us. Everybody had a great time. I heard this really handsome guy got nominated and won Prom King. Really handsome, but... I will. He came over to our prom, won, blew me out of the water. Totally unfair. So that was a blast, especially for me. And then the weekend before, we had 24-hour relay, which, in case you don't know, is 24 hours with teams based on the field down there, and you walk laps and do games, and it's just promoting sober life and anti-drug, anti-alcohol awareness and all that. I, for example, walked 10 laps at 4 o'clock in the morning, got about an hour of sleep, and was woken up at 6 by someone yelling in my face, "Get up off the ground, that's my place to sleep." So it's really fun. After all of this, we had our Golden Tigers, which is an awesome event promoting all of the students that are doing really well in each of our classes. And upcoming, we have our senior picnic, which is going to be a blast and a half. All of the seniors are going to go and get on buses, and we're going to spend a day eating cool food and bounce houses and just acting like kids for one last day of our high school career. And today, actually, we had a band featuring one former sub and a current sub who they have their own band called Proxima Prada, and they came and played at lunch, and we had burritos to give the people and popcorn and lemonade. It was awesome. Everybody had a blast. I brought some pictures along, and this is something that we've been working on and being pretty successful throughout the entire year, is trying to get more people to stay on campus, because we have an open campus, and I, for one, like that. I go to the same place every Thursday. I have not missed a Thursday this school year, but it's just a better community sense when everybody's staying on campus, sitting there together, walking off. I saw so many posts like, "I love my school," and I got to talk with so many people who I don't talk to before. And the same thing with rallies. It gives everybody this same experience that they all have to share. I mean, you have all these different social groups that never mingle, but if you've got a rally or you've got this cool band that came on, they all have that experience together, and where they normally wouldn't have anything to talk about, they can talk about that and build connections. And if I accomplished one thing this year, I hope it would be that. I hope. We have graduation on the 12th. I hear we successfully got Mr. Quessenberry off of the stage. I'm Our efforts have not been in vain, but he hopefully will still be attending. I hope that I can get anybody out there. I know all you guys will be there. I'm giving my speech. Don't get your hopes up. There will probably be a lot of jokes. I know there's going to be a Alfred Lord Tennyson quote in there. It's just going to be real jumble. No one's going to know what's going on. And as a farewell, I just want to say thank you to everybody on the board. This is awesome. Nobody told me that this is going to be awesome. They all went, "Oh, okay, you're going to a school board meeting? I'll catch up with you later." But you guys are like a whole nother set of teachers that no one else on the campus, except for us lucky to get to experience. And I want to thank you guys for that. It's been an awesome experience. I also want to extend my graduation party is on the Sunday after graduation. If you want to come, also there's some familiar faces out there. I see a Mr. Mayfield. You're invited too. 12-4, 2018 San Luis Drive, you know. Bring a friend, no gifts under $100. But thank you guys. I'm heading up to Portland State University to study economics.
Good. Two quick comments. Jono, well, both of you actually, Jono and Noah, there were 10 extra guests at the prom from Morobe High School. Would you care to comment on that?
That was the junior class who puts on prom invited the students. Now, I was never given clarification as to how many students ended up arriving. I know I saw a fair amount of students who I had never seen before. Now, most of these kids I have not, all of these kids I have not met face to face, but hopefully Noah can speak for their case, and I hope that they had fun if they came.
Yeah, I know of at least two couples that went that weren't able to attend Morro Bay's that were so graciously invited by San Luis Obispo High to their prom due to them being unable to attend. From what I heard limited amounts of information, but I know they did thoroughly enjoy it and want to pass along their thanks to Slo High for allowing them to still experience the wonderful, wonderful prom they put on.
That's great. And then, John, I just wanted to comment that I discovered one of your skills that we haven't seen here at the school board. I was at 24-hour relay, and that lip syncing and dancing, that was superb. We'll talk about it. I didn't know that song had a lounge version, but we can talk about that later.
And John, I just want to say to you before, I may not have the chance, that I consider you the epitome of a student leader and an excellent scholar and something akin to the modern major general. And I'll let you find that out for yourself.
Tonight we're here to celebrate 37 incredible people. All of them have retired since this time last year, so you will recognize some people that have been retired for a longer period of time and others who are about to retire. They have all contributed to making our district a special place. Retirees, you are about to find out what it's like to return from work and say, "Hi, honey, I'm home forever." As A.A. Milne wrote in Winnie the Pooh's little instruction book, don't underestimate the value of doing nothing or of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear and not bothering. Or as another author wrote, retirement is wonderful. It's doing nothing without worrying about getting caught at it. So tonight we celebrate their life ahead. And Jennifer O'Hagan has been kind enough to put together a slideshow of these fantastic retirees and the life that lies ahead. So we'd like to give you a little glimpse of that now.
Must have a code that she can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well their father's hell did slowly go by, them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you know by.
if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh. And know they love you. And you, of tender years, can't know the fears that your elders grew by. And so please help them with yours. They see the truth before they can die. Teach your parents well. Children's hell will slowly go by, and feed them on your dream, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever ask them why, if they told you you would cry. So just look at them and sigh.
At this time, I'd like to call up our board and superintendent in the front so we can honor these fantastic retirees. And retirees, when I read your name, if you could please come forward to the front so the board and superintendent can shake your hands. I'm going to read all of the names, even though I know not everyone is here tonight. Diane Baldwin, Michael Brown, Roxanne Burke, Katie Collins, Kurt Collins, Sharon Enman, Maryam Evans, Susan Fazziotto, Vicky Furness Lawrence, Bob Goosens, Cheryl Hames, you got the rest. Pam Hostetter. Debbie Jurgens. Jean Keller. Marty Kessler. Donna Kirtley. Kathleen Latendris. Margot Lowe. Scott McLongstreet. Wanda McQuatt.
You're supposed to go over this way, Jean.
Dan McShane. Melissa Newman. Patty O'Neill. Paul Orton. Charlie Perry-S. Carolyn Rayburn. Russ Rayburn. Ed Reed. Can you get them to line up? Karen Rose. I know. James Rothman. Linda Sachs. James Skoulis. Cindy Stiles. Trudy Sylvester. Nancy Thorne. Karen White.
Congratulations, Karen.
And Carrie Zinn. So I'd like to say congratulations to all of our retirees that are here tonight. And to you, I say, in the future, may every day be Bosses Day and every day be Employee Appreciation Day. With that, let's take a break and let's eat some cake or some...
Okay, the first speaker is Chandrika Jagia, I'm sorry, followed by Sean Greenlish.
I'm here to speak about the SLO High School track and field budget. My daughter is a freshman in SLO High and loves her track and field activities. Her physical strength and mental endurance have grown tremendously as a result of the training that the SLO High field allows. This year, this field is being used daily by over 200 track and field students. In addition, students in sports like football, basketball, wrestling, and PE, etc., also use this field. Along with that, over 50 people from the local community utilize the field for their daily jogs, especially road runners participating in marathons and triathlons. In total, more than 300 people benefit from this field daily. This extremely useful field is, however, a dirt track. A dirt track is not a competitive surface anymore. Athletes need to get used to running at proper pace with the correct resistance, as in an all-weather track. Training here on a dirt track and then racing on an all-weather track throws them off. Technical events like hurdles and sprint relays depend on exact step counts to be competitive, and the count is wrong because the feet slide on dirt. Consequently, athletes get injured during fast workouts because they slip and slide off the dirt. In addition, inadequate number of lanes adds to the inefficiency of practice. Furthermore, timed results taken with hand timing, because we don't have the FAT timing capability for meets, runs on a dirt track cannot be used for qualifying to bigger meets since they are not very accurate. Therefore, the slow high teams are always traveling to meets in other facilities to better prepare and in the process spend money they can better use to upgrade the facility. Similarly, the field does not have a high jump apron. Athletes must jump from grass or asphalt, and the pole vault runway is surrounded by asphalt. None of these are appropriate. There are many more such deficiencies, all of which highlight the fact that the field is way below the high school field standards. As a result, Slow High cannot hold league, county, and invitational meets. That is sad. Similar facilities in high schools of neighboring cities are much better than ours, and that is hurtful. Slow High is our only high school. It is a highly respected school and makes us proud. It is time that its track and field be upgraded to impressive high school standards so it can become a source of pride for its citizens. As a Slow resident, parent, and an architect, I strongly urge the council to provide adequate funds to design and design expertise to accomplish this task. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Madam President, esteemed board members, Dr. Prater, cabinet members. I'm Sean Greenelsh. I'm a Slow High parent. I voted for the bond, and as a homeowner, I'll be paying for it. My wife teaches at Sinsheimer. We started our relationship as San Jose High sweethearts a long time ago. I'm here to ask you also to build a quality all-weather track at Slow High. I represent many community members who want the same thing. I have two sons currently attending the high school, one a freshman and one a senior. In my family, there are fourth generation San Jose High. I also have a fourth grade daughter coming up through the ranks. My son Nate holds a school record in the 100 meter, the 4x100, and ranks all time second in the fast in the 200. He was injured toward the end of the season when he strained his hamstring in practice on the hard packed track dirt track. Before his injury, his 200-meter time ranked 10th in California and 49th in the nation. You can tell I'm a proud dad. But the reason I'm telling you this is because it's important for our athletes to have an all-weather track where they're not pounding on the dirt. The track has needed improvement for decades. I pole vaulted all 4 years here. When I was on the track team almost 30 years ago, several other pole vaulters and I took it upon ourselves to go raise money to improve the track facilities. On a Saturday, wearing our Letterman's jackets and carrying clipboards, we went door-to-door asking for donations. We raised $80 in donations. And on Monday, the athletic director, Tom Dimmitt, after receiving a call that weekend by a concerned resident, pulled us aside and kindly asked us to stop asking for donations. It was an embarrassment to the high school and the district. In the last 3 years, I have proudly served as a founding board member of the Slow High Tiger Athletic Booster Club. We've made sure to set aside 20% of our funds for capital improvement, each year with the hope of someday improving the track facilities and other athletic facilities. But without this bond, it would be impossible to improve the track. It is critical that this bond includes a quality all-weather track with 9 lanes. Whether it is fair or not, the image of this school is defined by its athletic facilities. And the quality of the track is a huge part of that image. The public passed this bond with the understanding that it includes a quality all-weather track with 9 lanes, one that can host larger meets to bring in added income and a quality reputation for the school and the district. Please do the right thing for this community. Follow through with what the bond voters expect. Leave a legacy worthy of San Luis Obispo pride. There are many community members who appreciate your dedication and your consideration of this important goal of building a quality all-weather nine-lane track. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? All right, we will move on to superintendent's update, 7.01, business and budget update.
Yeah, so not much to report in terms of state budget. From what we talked to the board at our last meeting with the public hearing for our budget. Right now, both houses, both the Senate and the House, are working together. You know, to figure out the legislature right now to hopefully get some compromise together. There's a June 15th deadline for them to bring a budget to the governor, and so hopefully, the positive things that have been discussed with the May revise will come to fruition for the district. It's interesting in that some of the projections are actually higher than what the governor has said in the May revise, and so how that potential extra money is parceled out to districts or as part of the LCF, the LCFF, those types of things, we'll see how that goes. And so that's kind of an interesting timeline. And then lastly, I will say that I attended our SIFE board meeting, which is our JPA for workers' compensation, and they did kind of a breakdown of how the districts have been doing, how our GPA compares to others. And what I will tell you is that our GPA does, JPA does extremely well in terms of workers' compensation and accidents and our safety plans and our rebate program, and all of that really echoes that Mike McGuire and his team at SIPE are just doing a fantastic job. For us at San Luis Coastal, our rates are actually dipping a little bit next year. So we pay basically in a certain amount per employee, per salary, and so it's actually going to be declining a little bit in our compensation for next year, which is a great thing. So we continue to, you know, want to do whatever we can in terms of safety with our employees, our safety program, updating our facilities, I believe, will really help, to be honest with you, in terms of slip, trips, and falls and concrete and those types of things out there. And so a lot of positive in terms of our workers' compensation.
Educational services update.
Thank you, and I just wanted to make sure that the board was aware of all of our graduations, but both Jono and Neil did a really nice job of that. I do think Jono missed the fact that we have the senior showcase at San Luis Obispo High School the night prior to graduation, which is June 11th at 6 p.m., and then graduation on Friday. Neil gave us all the Morro Bay things, and I want to also make sure that the board is aware that Pacific Beach High School's graduation will be held in this room on Thursday, June 11th at 1 p.m. Otherwise, we are on our final 7-day countdown, but who's counting? And that's all I have tonight.
Thank you. Mrs. Holmes, is there anything you need from any board members with regard to graduation?
I've heard back from all of you, and I am checking with the schools now for specific directions about the time they need you to report so that we can give you the right information.
Great. Thank you very much. All right, 7.03, Measure D.
Yeah, so we are, we have our board study session coming up on June 19th to discuss San Luis Obispo High School, and we'll address some of the concerns that we've heard over the last few meetings in terms of a track and priorities, those types of things at that time. So that'll be great to discuss. And then really I wanted to update the board. We had our first bond oversight committee meeting Monday morning, and we have an outstanding bond oversight committee. I mean, terrific. Our elected chair was Ken Sanfilippo, who was, you know, part of the district, has just did a wonderful job running the meeting, going through everything. We basically just kind of brought him up to speed with the bond itself, Measure D, the kind of where we're at in the planning preparation, went through the bylaws with the group, discussed Julie Avnet, budget proposals, how all of the bond dollars, Measure D dollars, are, you know, to the penny checked on and oversight between those and so and how that will be shared with that bond oversight committee. So it was great to do that as well as talk to them about program management. So we have our next meeting in September. We're going to meet four times a year, quarterly. And their goal, after we get our financial and performance audit on the bond funds for 14-15, they will, prior to the end of the year, will be basically giving a report to the board that we have to show that we have expended the funds the way that Measure D was outlined in the ballot language. So, but it was a great, great first meeting.
Thank you. All right, on to 8.01, resolutions, authorization for year-end transfers.
Hi, good evening. This is a resolution that we present to you every year, and basically what this does is it gives us permission to do the transfers, budget transfers, journal entries that we need to do to close the books, which is what we do all summer long. And the board doesn't have an opportunity to approve these transfers again until we have already closed the books and presented our unaudited actuals. So this is sort of a pre-approval to do what we need to do to close the books.
Is there anyone from the public here to address this? Any questions from the board?
I'll move approval of resolution 18-14-15.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Mrs. Holmes.
Mr. Millar?
Aye.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisenbrath Rogers?
Yes.
Passes 7-0.
All right, thank you. I see your statement right there.
I guess I will.
8.03 is another resolution for the Education Protection Act Fund.
Right. As you may recall, Proposition 30 passed in November of 2012, and as part of that, there was a creation of the Education Protection Account. And this comes from increased tax revenues, and it helps to offset, for revenue limit districts, it offsets the revenue, and for us, it comes in as additional revenue. We get about $1.4 million, and we spend all of that on teacher salary and benefits for Los Osos Middle School. We'll continue to do that until the funds expire, which will be in 2019-20.
Anyone from the public wishing to address this? Anyone from the board?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Julie, I just want to make sure, because I think the public hears about a lot of sources of money coming to us. So this is because Prop 30 sales and income taxes came in ahead of where they were anticipated. So this is our allocation of that statewide amount?
This is part of Proposition 30, which increased the sales tax and the income tax.
And it sunsets when?
18-19 will be the last year that we receive funds.
Okay, so this isn't quite one-time money, but it's pretty close to one-time money.
Yeah, right.
We know it's going to go away.
That's correct.
And just for my own benefit, why is it specific to Laguna?
It's actually specific to Los Osos.
I mean Los Osos, thank you.
And when we originally got the funding, it almost perfectly matched what our teacher salary and benefits were at Los Osos Middle School. It's a little bit bigger now, so it's all worked out. Actually, by next year, when we have our step and column increases, it'll probably be almost completely even.
Excellent.
For what we get.
Thanks. Oh, and I'm so used to your other budget documents and stuff that when I opened this one, it was very disappointing. The little print and so.
I could work on that.
That's okay. I was able to figure it out.
So just so the board knows, so this was a temporary sales tax increase as well as income tax increase for the highest tax earners. That's what Prop 30. That's what the voters passed. Currently, the governor has shown no interest in trying to extend that proposition, and so it will expire. I think the sales tax in 16 and then the income tax part in 18. So that's something that is a potential for us. It's part of our 7-year budget, so you can see where it ends, and it causes some deficit for us. And it's also something that we have to post on our website, the information about.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any further? Mr. Questenberry.
No, I'll move the motion, but I'll wait for public.
Okay.
We did that.
Mr.
Okay.
Blessinger, once again.
I move adoption or approval of Resolution 19-14-15, the Education Protection Account Fund expenditures.
Any further discussion? Mrs.
Holmes? Mr. Quessenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mrs. Scheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Passes 7-0.
So we'll discuss 8.03 when we get to 9.03. So we're down to discussion items, 9.01, Prop 39, Energy Audit Update and Final Expenditure Plan.
Step right up.
Yep.
Hi again. I'm Dave Houghton. I am your consultant for the Prop 39 process. I've been here a couple times before and giving you updates along the way. So this is just another update as we're moving along. We have a PowerPoint that we can show. There it is. Okay. So previously we described how the process is going to work. The last time I saw you, we gave you some of the results of the audits. We've walked through all the schools in the district and we've taken our notes on how many light bulbs and furnaces and so on are there. And now what we do is we make an application to the California Energy Commission to spend some of that money that's been allocated to this district, which all told was about $1.4 million. We have about $1.1 million remaining to propose for us. Let's go to the next slide. And this is the punchline. We'll begin at the end. I have about six slides total. And the EEP is what's called an energy expenditure plan, and that's their terminology for what are you going to spend this money on. And there's a lot of different things that you can spend it on, but what we've decided to do is to really select these three measures that are shown, and I'm going to show a little bit of detail on each one in the subsequent slides. And we are focusing on the elementary schools rather than the secondary schools because so much of the Measure D money is going to be going to those. And we're not going to do retrofits on spaces that are then going to get remodeled and tear out what we just put in. Doesn't make sense. And so what we have here is all the elementary schools. The yellow bars are, and this is the installation cost, is the vertical axis. And it might seem a little strange, but really what we're trying to do is make sure that we spend all the money. And we're going to spend it wisely. It's going to be on retrofits that make a lot of difference and save energy, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But this part of the game, we are really trying to make sure that we're getting close to that $1 million. So the yellow bars are retrofitting the typical linear fluorescent lights that are in most of the classrooms into the newer technology LEDs. That's about a 30% energy savings. The blue bars are the sodium metal halide lights that we're not already retrofitting because of the last energy efficiency plan, which is for all the gyms, the secondary school gyms. So this is picking up the multipurpose rooms in some of the elementary schools, and I think there's a couple of other gyms in there too. And then finally, the red bars, that is to install wireless network thermostats. We have a particular brand that we're trying out right now. There's three of them installed at Teach Elementary, and that'll be a benefit to the facility staff. Right now, they spend a lot of time answering calls and rolling trucks just to reset thermostats. It's kind of silly. And so with this new system, Jeff will be able to pull it up on his phone or his pad, and he'll be able to address any kind of concern. He can also set limits on the stats and take care of daylight savings time and all that stuff. So the upper right bar tells you the sum total of this proposed expenditure is just under $1 million. So that will leave about $200,000 for future years. This will be this is the second plan that we're submitting and the second year of a five-year program. So we'll have about another 5 years, if we wish, to spend the rest of the $200,000 that's remaining. And the SIR, that's what they call the savings to investment ratio. And the criteria there is it just has to be over 1.05. And this package comes in at 1.58, so it should sail right through. Any questions on this?
I just have a question about, so the effect of this will be that we'll be creating more comfortable work environments for the teachers and the students. So
yeah.
It'll be warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer? Are we adding any air conditioning comfort?
There is no air conditioning being added through this. This is all about energy savings. Adding air conditioning actually adds energy consumption. So the RELOs are the only schools, classrooms that have air conditioning right now. So if you want air conditioning, that'll have to be Measure D or some other funds. It's not what this money is intended for.
And changing out the fluorescents for the LEDs will make it more a more comfortable reading environment, a more pleasant experience?
Well, when we made the change about 10, 15 years ago from the old T12 fluorescents to the newer T8 fluorescents, that was a big noticeable change because, and I don't know how far you want me to get into this, but those old lamps were the cool whites that maybe you remember when they were flickery. They actually ran on 60 hertz, and so you would get strobing effects, and they were just kind of nasty, and they were kind of green colored, and everybody. The newer generation, which is what you have everywhere now, they're pretty good. They're not terrible. They're okay. They're really quite good. They have good color rendering. There's no flicker. They run at 20,000 hertz, and they're pretty efficient. The LEDs are also really good. They're a little bit better. And if you want to see, I have a couple pictures coming up here. But if you go to any of the Lucia Marr schools, they have all been retrofitted from the T8s. Actually, they went from T12s all the way to LEDs. So they've been retrofitted, and you can see what they look like. And I have a couple pictures here coming up. They're very nice. They're also more readily dimmable and some other neat tricks. And the fixtures now have, you can get them with built-in occupancy sensors and photo cell control. And so we haven't actually selected the fixtures, and Dr. Prater was asking about this earlier. What we're doing right now is budgeting, applying for the money. When the money comes in, then we go out to bid for the retrofit itself, and that's when we make the decisions on what exactly are we going to use.
It makes a huge difference in big spaces. It's like gymnasiums, multi-purpose rooms. Those LEDs, huge. And in spaces where it would take 15, 20 minutes for the lights to come on, so it's instant, and you can dim them. So, I mean, there's a lot of positives with the LEDs that...
Yeah, I was talking about the classroom fluorescent lighting. Thanks, Ryan, because in the gyms, compared to the metal halides and the sodium lights that are in the gyms right now, it makes a huge difference. And so some of those are already happening. We're actually having a meeting pretty soon about what's going to happen with those, with the gyms that's already been funded. So does that answer your question? Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, just real quick. As I start converting my house to LEDs at $20 a bulb, very slowly converting, I've noticed that there's a soft light. These are the options that are available in town, right? A soft light and a white light, and there seems to be a big difference in those. What I'm reading, and maybe obviously you're more of an expert than I am, there's a reference to full spectrum lighting. Is that available as an LED, and is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, full spectrum is kind of one of those terms. It's like natural granola. It doesn't exactly nail anything down. We talk about color temperature, and we talk about a thing called CRI, which is the color rendering index. And all these products do very well. Lighting a classroom or a gym is a lot different than lighting a house, and so you actually want a different color temperature to get the best effect there. In your house, you have lower lighting levels, and you want more red kind of hues and kind of warmer light, like you're saying, and I've been doing the same thing, and actually $9.99 now at Home Depot, not $20 anymore. But these all perform very well. They have very good color rendering index, and there's really nothing to worry about there. We will probably go for more of the higher color temperature, which is more like daylight, whereas in the house you get a little more redshifted, which is a little bit more like firelight. So, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. So here's the three measures. I'm not going to stay too long on this slide, but number one is the T8 fluorescent, and that top picture is from... one of the Lucia Marr schools, I can't remember which one. And so you can see the fixture has a little bit of a different appearance there. And the LED strip is buried, it's behind that narrow dark strip at the up in the 2x4 troffer. And this is a retrofit kit that gets installed. You pull out the guts of the old fixture, ready to keep the frame. You put in the new. And that's a lot different than some of the retrofits that are out there where you just take out the lamp and you put in a new lamp that has LEDs in it, and it runs on the fluorescent ballast, and that's kind of inferior technology. So we're going to do the more permanent solution that's going to be a better lighting quality. The HID...
Lifespan of lights versus
The lifespan of LEDs is really interesting. There's no filament. There's no cathodes to burn out. So they don't ever really burn out. They eventually fade away. But the lifetime right now that are rated for these products are between 25 and 50,000 hours. These lamps burn about 2,000 hours a year. So a 50,000-hour lamp is a 25-year solution. You do get a little bit of lumen decline, but you also get that with fluorescence. So
the another part of the savings is not just the electricity part, it's also the manpower, it's the, you know, people, changing bulbs, those types of things as well. Waste.
Yeah, exactly. The HID, similar benefits, and I've got individual slides on each of these two. That photo is of Mesa Middle School in their gym. That's with the LED retrofit. And there's a photo of one of the wireless thermostats. They look pretty much like your regular thermostats. Okay, we can go to the next one. So here's the T8 to LED summary. The package that we have put together will retrofit 10,236 lamps, mostly in 3- and 4-lamp fixtures. Total installed cost at $60 per lamp is $614,000. That'll all be paid for by this Prop 39 money. You'll save approximately $45,000 a year. The light quality is better. There's no flicker, no relamping, and no disposing of lamps, which is an additional cost. And there's a couple more photos of some more of the LED fixtures. Again, these are at LucioMar, where we also did some Prop 39 work. The HIDs, 127 of them, and that's not counting the 200 that we already are working on for the gyms in the secondary schools. They're about $1,000 each, so 127 grand, also paid by the CEC. They'll save about $11,000 a year, and these are significantly better quality, as Ryan was pointing out, compared to the HIDs. And these are a real pain in the butt to change, too. You got to get the lift out, right? We can go to the next one. Next slide. And here's the thermostats, 284 thermostats. That's all the classrooms in the secondary schools and actually the district office as well. Again, we're not doing the reloads, though, because those are temporary, so we're not going to put money in those, and we're not doing the secondary schools because those are going to be part of the Measure D retrofits. And so what we are doing here is establishing sort of a standard that will get used in the Measure D, and so we'll be coordinating with some of what that work's going to be doing. And when we pick a fixture for these retrofits, it's also going to apply to the Measure D schools, and at least we'll have something that's consistent.
The ability during the summertime or non-use times, holidays and things like that, for us to be able to shut down power is great. You know, you want to have an override for teachers, those types of things, so if they come in and have to work or things like that, you want to make sure that capability is there. But it's one of those things that having somebody walk around to every single classroom and do that, check lights, versus being able to program it will be a huge advantage for us.
The photos up here show you some of your existing thermostats. We've got everything from the round Honeywell on the wall to the Robert Shaw there with the twist timer next to it and to this programmable thing that you flip that box open and then the fun really starts, right? So as we were doing our audits and our walkthroughs, not every teacher, but occasionally we would just talk to teachers, hey, how's your comfort and how's your thermostat work, you know? And very few people understand how their thermostats work. They think it's a gas pedal or a brake pedal, and, you know. So some of them really did, but the twist timers people do get, and so those are pretty effective. But that will all be improved upon with this. So, yeah, $142,000 for this, and again paid by the CEC. The savings are $12,000. That's I think with the kinds of things we can do, as Ryan was mentioning, that'll be a big benefit. The remote programming, that'll be a nice benefit for your staff. And as I said, we have three of them installed already, so we're already getting some experience. Next slide. So we're near the end of this, and the next steps are for us to do the online application to the CC, and we've already got that kind of queued up, and it'll go out in the next week and a half. If that's approved, which we expect it to be, then the funding will come sometime around the third quarter. And once that's approved, then as soon as you like, you can go ahead and bid it, install it, and then the money comes in, and then off we go. Any other questions?
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to address the public? Any other questions?
Yeah, just real quickly, thanks. That was really good. One of the things that slowed me down just a bit was when you said we could have got money for Prop 13 for the high schools, but we're going to use the Measure D money. Did I hear that correctly?
So maybe the key word there is the verb got. We're getting all the money that's going to be allocated, that has been allocated for the district.
Okay.
It's a matter of where do you spend it.
Okay.
So the decision was not to spend Prop 39 money on the high schools because it's getting majorly renovated, right?
Thanks. I appreciate that clarification.
Anything else? Thanks very much.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, 9.02, Measure D, approved contract for high school Wi-Fi installation.
You don't want to queue it up. Okay. Good evening. So what's in front of you this evening is the lease-leaseback contract for the installation of the wiring and infrastructure to install Wi-Fi at the two comprehensive high schools. So this is very similar to the methodology and the process we used last year for rolling it out at all of our elementary schools. So back in early spring, we engaged the engineering services of Toma Engineering to come out and lay out a plan for getting Wi-Fi into all of the high school buildings. We then priced that plan, and that's the numbers you're seeing before you today. But what we did differently this time at the two high schools as opposed to at the elementary schools is we developed a concept that the in the classrooms that are getting major renovations, we're not putting in all of the permanent infrastructure like we did at the elementaries. We're doing a fairly non-invasive, quick installation that's utilizing some existing data runs that are already in the classrooms so that those can easily be taken out when we do the renovation and then reinstalled in the final solution when those buildings get renovated. Now, we are in a couple of the buildings, namely the science wing at Morro Bay High School and the building 500 at Slo High, doing a full-blown permanent installation because the amount of work proposed in those two buildings is not going to really interfere with this Wi-Fi project that's going in. And again, if one or two of them have to be moved, et cetera, they're not a real difficult task. But the way those two buildings are constructed, the type of work we're proposing in there is really not going to interfere with this permanent work. So it's, you know, in some of the buildings that we'll be putting this in even temporarily may not see Measure D money for 3 to 5 years. So the education world is still moving on, and we're still having to adapt to that side. So we don't want to wait for Measure D, but at the same time, we don't want to spend good money to just have to tear it out. So we're doing what we feel is a very prudent and very but a very thoughtful installation and use of the funds for this to get Wi-Fi at both of our campuses.
So I'd say kudos to both Anthony and Kim, as well as the sites, Toma, the IT department, to really nail down where the Wi-Fi will go, how the kids are going to use it. I mean, there was a lot. This has been an ongoing conversation throughout the entire year to get to this point. So they really did their due diligence to, like Anthony said, to be as prudent as possible with what we can get done, keep the education process going. So thank you.
Is there anyone from the public here to talk about this? Any board discussion?
All right,
thank you.
We need a motion.
We're seeking approval of this item this evening. So.
I'll move approval of item 9.02, approved contract for high school Wi-Fi installation.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I do have a little a question here. So we're essentially approving all these subcomponents, which will be the totality of the agreement.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
In the past, we just showed the one lease-leaseback contract. This time, I told Ann, go ahead and just put all the documents down. So just so the board can, I mean, there's a lot of backup documentation that goes with these. Workers' compensation, make sure everybody's fingerprinted, you know, all those things. So sorry if it was, if that's part's a bit confusing, like the bonding, those types of things. That won't happen until the contract's actually issued. Then those documents will be filled out. So
yeah, my big fear was you guys would hit print on all and so.
Yes. Yeah, I read through all of these and it was the, you know, the grapes of wrath, at least. And my thought, and I wonder what my colleagues, how my colleagues feel about this, for future, these, all of these these items will always be attached to and made a part of the agreement with any particular contractor. For my part, I don't feel that I need to see them again, having seen them once attached to each agreement. But I don't know how my colleagues feel about that. I'm willing to know that they're incorporated and made a part of the agreement.
I suppose that would be fine with me if I also know that Mr. Holcomb, as our advisor, has also taken a look at any contract that comes before us. So I would want that further reassurance personally, if the board, if my colleagues.
I think we would ask if Mr. Holcomb had vetted.
Yes.
Had vetted, yeah.
Yes. And I was getting ready to ask it on this of Mr. Holcomb, who I see nodding back there. So.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
If I may, I would say that a lot of this is pro forma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to consider it every other time, but clearly things like the sublease and lease-leaseback agreement, those things will need to be in there, and I think it could just be indicated that these other components of the agreement are included.
We could work with Mr. Pinkerton and the board to maybe once a year sort of adopt the new model year contract templates, mm-hmm. so that you see them once, say in January when they come out, because the laws change and some of the nuances change, and then those are our templates for the year, if you will. Could be an option. Of course.
And I will say that in reviewing this stuff, it helped me understand lease-leaseback for the first time. You guys may have heard the angel chorus when the skies opened and the light came on.
So, yeah, that.
But so I thank
you. Is that the good weather we had?
It was helpful. But the lease-leaseback is the primary
right.
agreement here. So that, of course, that was something we needed to see, and that changes from agreement to agreement. But the workman's comp and all of that stuff is just always a part of any agreement that we would see. I don't know. Did we get...
Well, I actually did find it helpful to have this attached, but maybe just with a reminder that the rest of these documents are documents that we have previously seen. It's just being provided for a refresher course. But I kind of liked having it there just so I could be reminded.
Well, this was the first time, but
yeah.
Would you like to have it there every time?
I feel like I maybe would like to, but maybe with the reminder that we have seen it before, nothing has changed in those items. And, okay. Yeah.
Can I suggest for me, if there was a link to it and it just said all the other stuff, would that work? Okay. I'm just proposing.
Yeah, Kim, I'm wondering if things like this could be placed in the board docs library, and just have a simple. Either a reference to that or just a link to the library, because we've already got the library there.
We have a couple of different options. If I link you to the library, I think it'll take you to that one place, and you'd have to find your document. These documents exist in this agenda item now, and we could link to a specific attachment in the future. so that we don't have to upload these anymore, but there would be a link in that agenda item that would take you back to this very same document. So we'll look at that and see which one is more practical.
Is everyone, Catherine is nodding. Mark, is that acceptable to you? Do something like that? Yeah. All right. Okay, thank you. So this is, we are seeking approval of this tonight. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion at this time? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. 9.03, Measure D. Approve RFP for lease-back contractors.
No, that was no resolution. That was just the Wi-Fi contract. So the good news is, with Mr. Holcomb's assistance, we're going to be coming up with a whole brand new lease-back contract and architect agreement, which we're working on currently. So we will be bringing back kind of a more refined, as we go through the process. Right now, we're really in the depths of rewriting our architect agreement and contract. And so what happens is all those other documents that go along with that, like lease-back agreements and everything that you see, will that whole suite will come together. So we will be bringing all of that information back to the board to share. But as part of the process of moving forward with Measure D, and specifically doing lease-back agreements, is we need to kind of develop our pool of contractors that the board will approve the use for. And so Mr. Palazzo got together, working with our attorney, put together an RFQ. Mr. Holcomb then took that RFQ, added his comments, added his ideas. We then vetted it back with our attorney, who came up with the document that you have in front of you tonight. So there's a document for us to move forward with the RFQ tonight. And then on top of that, there's also a resolution that Mr. Plaza is going to talk about that has to go along with that RFQ for state funding and things like that. So I'm going to have Mr. Plaza kind of describe what the two items are, and then we'll need board approval for the resolution as well as then to go out for the RFQ.
So we'll probably cross over the two items a little bit, but if you can bear with me. So back early last year, first of 2014, the state began to mandate, as part of state funding requirements, a pre-qualification process for all general contractors and for all electrical, mechanical, plumbing contractors. Okay, so, and this is, they're adding this regulation as the state money is waning and going away and there's less and less of it out there. So what it did was is it caused a lot of districts that were anticipating state money or planning to apply for it in the future to start this pre-qualification process. This is only required for projects over $1 million. So a lot of the projects we've been seeing to date, we've not done this pre-qualification process because none of them have been over $1 million. Okay. So what as part of that state mandate, the board needs to adopt a pre-qualification process, and it's a very technical process. It doesn't get into, is it a contractor you can work with culturally? Is it a contractor that's means and method? It's very financial. Have you met all your requirements of your contracts in the past? Have you ever been fired from a job, et cetera, et cetera? You've probably read through the document and know kind of the drier side of that. And so because we are going out for an RFQ to select a pool of contractors, we also need that group to be qualified based on an approved process that's passed by resolution of the board. And so this RFQ has two components. It has the more cultural, philosophical sort of can we work with this contractor component to it, and then it's got the more technical pre-qualification component to it, which then is also part of the state mandated regulations. So when we're doing our audit, when we apply for state funding and hopefully get it, we can check the box that we did the pre-qualification. So does that kind of give you the gist of kind of the parts and pieces and all the moving components? Okay.
Right. So we want to do, and then that, you want to go ahead and talk about the resolution now, or do you want to vote on this, Mr. Miller? I'm going to ask what your pleasure is, because you noticed how they went together.
Well, I had noticed that in the resolution itself, there's a lot of the same language documents that are in the 9.03 item, and that was kind of why I thought we should probably learn more about those documents that will be approved when we do the resolution.
Yes, yeah, so we have to pass the resolution to say this is our process for pre-qualification, and then we're discussing and blessing, if you will, the RFQ that includes that resolution you just passed.
Right.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if you wanted to go to the public or, but I.
Yeah. We'll go to the public, and then we'll need to adopt the resolution first, is my understanding. So.
Okay, but can we ask questions in general?
Yeah.
I just wanted to, I think I see how it's going to work, but so our own in-house scoring folks are going to sit down and say on page 1416 of which item do I have? That's a good question. Where it talks about scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And what points are deducted for unsatisfactory, et cetera. And that's going to be performed by our in-house folks.
Correct.
Okay. And then based on those scores, you either have too low a score and you're not in the pool, or you have a score or you're in the pool. And then after a contractor is in the pool, does the awarding of the job of a particular project depend on their overall score, or this is kind of a hurdle, you get qualified, and then you're a candidate for a project regardless of the way you scored overall?
Correct. That's probably the latter is probably the more...
Because if you had some real problems, you wouldn't be in the pool.
Correct. Okay. Correct. So the idea is then once we have the pool of contractors, yep. we've got, you know, I'm just throwing a number at them, you know, we've got four contractors that have you know, passed the pre-qualification process. We've interviewed them. We've sat down with them. They've gone through the RFQ process. You know, it looks like they can provide the services that the district needs. They may have expertise in a couple project types. Then we'll assemble that pool. We're going to bring that pool back to you for approval. And then as projects start to come up and as we get the project lists much more defined at the two sites, we'll start to assign projects to those contractors based on, you know, matching them up with their expertise.
And then that may or may not involve lease back. We think it might involve lease back.
For this RFQ, this would be only lease back contracting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. All right, and then there was one question. I'd spoken with Ron a little bit about it, but I wasn't sure I was using the term, and I'm not sure where I saw it, but it was a 15% retention, or what was the other term you were saying, Ron?
Well, there's retention and then there's contingency.
Oh, Ron said there's retention and there's contingency. But what I was curious about is that 15%, if I'm remembering the number correctly, if it's left over, it's district money.
Are we? Come on up, Ron. We need you to speak into the mic.
Well, I didn't see the 15%.
Yeah.
Anthony,
does anybody else see it besides me?
I'm not sure.
10%. Thank you, Marilyn.
Yes.
Oh, Marilyn can answer my question, okay. And I would be more than happy to have that.
Retentions are monies withheld from a contract to ensure completion of the work. So that when a contractor bills in a billing period, they have $1 million contract and they're billing 10% complete for $100,000, they're only paid 90. The district withholds 10% to ensure that they complete their work, come back and do their punch list work and what have you at the end. And then at the end, those retentions are released.
Okay. Excellent.
So it's a 10-month project. It's $1 million. It's a 10-month project. We're paying them $100,000 a month. Or they're applying for payment at $100,000 a month. We're only paying them 90, and at the end of that 10 months, we then review the job, make sure it's complete. They've turned in all the manuals, everything, and then we release that final $100,000 to them. So we're always keeping 10%.
Excellent. It's boy, we were such a high functioning board. Is the
thanks to Marilyn.
Is the depth of knowledge so. And English teaching, too. So. Thank you.
Well, it works on large contracts, but on small contracts, when you just can't get the guy to come back and, you know, finish the striping and bumpers in the parking lot, he's saying you're holding $500, forget it.
Yeah. The other thing is with summer work and modernizations, by the time they put their first application for payment in for 10% of the job, they're 75% through it. So by de facto, we're typically keeping a ton of retention just in the summer, especially in the fast-paced summer work. So you know, this Wi-Fi project will probably be done, and they'll put their first payment application in.
And there's also a provision that the retention be deposited to an account so they can earn the interest, because in theory it will be their money.
Well,
if he's earned, you know, in theory,
it's his money or their money.
He's earned the money. He deserves the retention. We're only, I always say retention is simply put the carrot in front of the donkey. So we want them to finish, they get the carrot.
All right, now that I understand.
So what I'm going to do, so that we're doing this in the appropriate order, is see if anyone from the public would like to address item 8.03, which is projected specific, project-specific pre-qualification process for contractors. Right. Any further board discussion on item 8.03? All right, then we will vote. I need a motion.
Yes. And correct me if I'm making this motion. Correct me if I'm not making this motion correctly. The motion is for resolution 2014-15, which is adopting project-specific pre-qualification process for contractors pursuant to Public Contract Code Section 20111.6.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Mrs. Holmes.
Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers? Passes 7-0.
All right. Now, anyone from the public wishing to address item 9.03, which is the RFQ/RFP for leaseback contractors? Any further board discussion on this item?
I'll move approval of item number 9.03, which on our agenda is listed as 9.04. And that's the measure.
No,
mine it is.
Oh.
The numbers are going to move around as you change items depending on your machine. So if you refer to the title, you'll be safer than
Measure
than
D, approval of RFQ, RFP for leaseback contractors.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, so now I'm looking at my board docs. So that if we are now at item 9.05, approve countywide plan to provide educational services to expelled students, Mr. Dower.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
Every 3 years, each county superintendent of schools works with superintendents from within the county to develop a plan to provide educational services to all expelled pupils in their county and submit this, and are required to submit this plan to the state superintendent. The plan details existing educational alternatives for expelled students, identifies gaps in educational services, and strategies for filling those gaps. Gaps identified in our county plan includes addressing the needs of students who are expelled but continue to struggle in community schools, and keeping three sites open for the county community school programs throughout the county while dealing with declining enrollment due to a variety of factors. I'm submitting this plan for you to for your approval.
Is there anyone from the public who wishes to address us on this? Any board discussion?
Mr. Dowler.
Thank you. Ms. Rogers.
Does this plan differ in any significant ways from the plan that was last presented to us?
Well, I'm not sure when the last plan was submitted to you. I think it was a while ago. It wasn't in the last 3 years. So I think it was last submitted to you in the early 2000s, in which case it would, but I haven't reviewed that plan. I would hope it would have changed since then.
I was hoping we could just roll with no significant change.
No, not at all. None whatsoever in the last 6 years. So I have looked as far back as 6 years, and it hasn't changed in that time.
Okay, well, I have reviewed it. I don't know if there's board discussion on it. If not, I'll move approval of the plan as presented.
All in favor? Buckman, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
A pleasure as always. Thank you.
Item 9.06, approved 2015-2016 local control accountability plan.
Thank you. This is technically our third reading of the local control accountability plan. On May 5th, we presented the plan with some detail. On May 19th, we held a public hearing. Based on the board input at that meeting, we highlighted those aspects of the plan that were of our creation, kind of separate from the state template language, so we put that in a highlighted form so it's a little easier to read. In addition, we also provided a sort of cliff note overview of the plan, and hopefully you all saw that, and Mrs. Holmes, you maybe can even put it up there in case there's any questions. In addition, Dr. Prater has published answers to any inquiries concerning the plan. By law, the district budget and the LCAP must be approved at the same meeting of the Board of Education. So we actually have three items in a row which we are seeking your approval tonight. And first, we are seeking your approval of the 2015-16 LCAP revision as presented previously.
Anyone from the public to address this? First of all, I would like to thank all of you for the tremendous amount of work that has gone into this, as well as the transparency with which this process has been conducted. So LEA plan and addendums issue.
Good evening, Board. The No Child Left Behind Act of 2001 mandates that each local educational agency, or LEA, develop an LEA plan. By meeting this requirement and completing the consolidated application as well, which I'll be bringing to you at the next meeting, we receive federal and state funding. The LEA plan is a multi-year plan intended to engage district-wide resources in meeting the educational needs of all students. It's comprised of three different areas: the background and budget, a needs assessment, as well as performance goals, and includes several appendices in the very back. I think the one that is most important this year is the EL Master Plan Appendix, because we did make some pretty big changes to that based on the new ELD standards and ELD framework. So the LEA plan addendum is a super important document included in the LEA plan. The addendum describes specific actions and expenditures allocated specifically for 15-16 and is aligned with our LCAP plan. I think the easiest way to think of it is we've got the LCAP plan as the big, and the LEA plan addendum gives us all the details that fit into the LCAP. For each of the six focus areas identified in the LCAP, the LEA plan addendum spells out detailed actions, expenditures, as well as metrics to measure student achievement. A requirement of our program improvement status is that we annually update the LEA plan and addendum and request approval from the school board. Once approved, the LEA plan addendum will be shared with principals to inform their discussions and development of their single plans for student achievement, or SPSAs. At this time, Kimberly McGrath, Diane Frost, and I are all available to answer any questions and request your approval of the LEA plan and addendum.
We'll go to the public. Anyone here to address this? We'll come back to the board. Any questions, Mr. Unger?
Well, I don't have any questions, but I just wanted to thank you and congratulate you on the phenomenal amount of work you did on this document. For the public, there were strikeouts and additions, and just to go through and look and see what revisions you folks made was just really amazing. And again, the volume of work and the thought that went into it is mind-boggling, and you all are to be congratulated for it.
On that note, Mr. Unger, would you like to move approval?
I'll move approval of the 2015-16 LEA plan and addendum.
Second. Second by Mr. Millar. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Item 9.08, approval of the 2015-16 budget.
So again, since the public hearing, not much has changed in terms of the governor's budget. We will, once the budget is approved, once we know the true meaning of what it means to our district, we'll be bringing that information back to the board, 45-day revise of the budget, and we can discuss, you know, where we're at, where we're headed in terms of potential other items. I will highlight the fact that at our last public hearing, you'll know that Julie Lang did go over all of our reserves, reserve requirement, those types of things. So that is a new requirement under the LCAP and under the LCFF that we do that. So, and that was part of our public hearing at the last board meeting. So that said, in terms of where we're at with the budget, really hasn't changed from last time. Julie, myself, we're here to answer any questions that the board may have.
Wishing to discuss the budget. Questions from the board?
And again, I wanted to congratulate you guys on the being able to keep to the 10% reserve that we know we need to keep to. I've looked at other budgets, and I think other agencies would like to have higher reserves than are statutorily required, but they're not able to get there. And the fact that we've made that a priority and that we've been able to stick with it to protect our employees and our schools and our kids, I think is really important. And then the second thing I think that just we can't forget about is that Fund 20, which protects our retirees, our post-employment retirement benefits. You know, there we've got, what, about $9 million in there, something like that. I know there are other districts that are doing a pay-as-you-go, and that's not fair to their employees. And I just think we, as a district, or to really be patted on the back for that.
Mine's just a comment, looking at all the folks that retired and then the list of some resignations we have. Are we consistently looking at ways of checking our staffing and confirming that we need fewer people, or if someone retires, we're not necessarily going to immediately fill that position and so forth. I also want to commend Kristen because I think she's going to have a tremendous lot of work this next few months. So,
her and her team have been busy. I will tell you that. And I will also tell you that I'm constantly playing the devil's advocate when it comes to staffing and personnel costs. So I've adapted to that role quite well.
Well, thank you. As we look at the notes here,
it's important.
And trying to keep to that 85% for personnel cost, one way is by attrition if possible.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And really the STRS-PERS that we talked about is such a critical thing for us in the out years in all districts that – because, and we talked about this, because a lot of money is going into school districts for next year, it's the governor really hasn't had to address that, I think, because it's not a big deal, or kind of like the reserve requirement, because we haven't gone into the test year where districts have to abide by it. It hasn't become something that's a political in nature. But when it does hit, it's a big deal. So we have to start addressing that now and continuing to look at it and address it, I think, in the future, because personnel costs are, as we talked about, it's key for us to keep them in a realm to where we can continue to do all the other things to upgrade our facilities and buy computers and materials and supplies and new cars and buses and all the other things that we really need to make sure we don't neglect.
Thanks. Just two quick questions. One is a comment. One of the things that I found most helpful is the seven-year estimate and projecting out. It really makes what we're doing this year makes sense. So I appreciate that. The other question is, I know we need the County Office of Education to rubber stamp this at some point, and has there been any preliminary work on that? Do we know? Because this budget really isn't okay until they say it's okay.
Well, yeah, so once the board approves it tonight, Julie will be sending it to the county office, and then they go through the process of approving it and sending that information to the board. And again, we will come back to the board with a kind of a 45-day revise to relook at the budget once we know the true figures.
Thank you. Mrs. Roger?
Thank you. I would like to move approval of the budget, but also realizing that I am the boss of absolutely nobody. We have all given, other than Bob Roger, of course. We have all applauded the efforts of staff tonight in the preparation of the LEA plan, the LCAP, and the budget. So I would suggest, I wonder if Dr. Prater would be willing to release staff that is still in the room so that they can go home and either have a glass of wine or a little sundae or something like that on a work night. Because I think we're done with them. Our questions are answered, and I move approval of the 2015-2016 budget as submitted.
I'll second.
Discussion regarding this?
I think the president announces.
We have in earlier this evening in closed session we discussed.
Yeah, you have specific language in the second box of board docs that you need to read.
Oh, I have to read specific language. All right. Here we are.
Oh, it's right there.
After reviewing Dr. Prater's self-evaluation, the trustees have conferred and shared individual comments and agreed to write a common narrative reflecting the full board's assessment of his performance. The board of The board of trustees of San Luis Coastal Unified School District is proud indeed to announce a positive evaluation of Dr. Prater's performance for 2014-2015. In accordance with Section 8 of the contract, the board determines that the superintendent's evaluation for the 2014-2015 school year is positive, and he is entitled to a 2% step increase effective July 1, 2015, and to a one-year contract extension from July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2018. Thank you, Dr. Prater, for your service. And thank you to my fellow board members for all working collaboratively to achieve the evaluation.
Can we give them a round of applause?
So don't we have to?
So, Madam President, I'm wondering at this point if we can excuse Dr. Prater because.
I'll second it, even with the addition of the word indeed. I will still second it.
You know, it's hard not to ad lib a little bit here and there. All in any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right, we will move on to the action consent agenda. Well, it's been a long time since it's been this early. 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, acceptance of donations. Oh. 10.03, approval of purchase orders. 10.04, approval of warrants and payroll. 10.05, approval of Summerfield study trip requests. 10.06, appointment of representatives and alternatives to athletic leagues for 2015-16.
I'll move approval of 10.01 through 10.05. 10.01, 10.03 through 10.06.
Okay, very good.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Quesenberry.
I just wanted to note on the exceptions on the acceptance of donations from Morro Bay High School, a former student of ours, Jamie Roman, who I know is a very hardworking young man, and earns all of these dollars because I see him working at our local community center, donated $300, and I think that's really impressive. So having said that, I will move approval of the acceptance, 10.02 acceptance of donations.
Now second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. We are on to the 11.02, the advanced agenda. Any items on there? All right. Informational reports by board members. Mr. Unger.
I know that Sunday was the Morro Bay High Band concert, which we heard was really, really successful. But there was also something else on Sunday that I just wanted to bring people's attention to, and that was a memorial service for Marina Borgstrom, who had been a longtime teacher of San Luis Coastal, a special education teacher. She taught at Baywood Elementary School, and she passed actually pretty suddenly early this year, I believe. It was a well-attended memorial service at the Botanical Gardens. Many, many teachers were there. And as always, you know, just to hear about people's lives and the effect that they had on others is really touching. And I just would like to pay tribute to the memory of Marina Borgstrom.
Thank you, Chris. Anyone else?
Yes. I just want to talk about 24 Hour Relay for 1 second. My seventh year, I think, for volunteering at 24 Hour Relay, and Frank Warren, as you know, is in charge of putting that on for us. And I told him at the end of 24 Hour Relay that this was, for me, the best ever. And I was trying to figure out why, and I think I realized why. At the beginning of 24 Hour Relay, Frank asked everyone to come together and to remember Boone Pendergrast, who was a volunteer who had worked for Relay for years. The students did a remarkable thing for him. They did a mural on the side of one of the storage units. Some artists, students, painted the outline, and then the students, as they did the relay and walking by, added to the artwork, and it was extraordinary, and you'll have to pop in and see. It's right there on the track. But then Frank said to all the students who were there, you know, Boone had this incredibly upbeat personality and this loving heart, and what he would want more than anything for you to do and to remember him is to turn to the people who are with you and tell them how much you care for them. And all the kids turned and high-fived and hugged, and I think that carried throughout the entire weekend. It was just the most mellow relay ever. So I want to thank Frank, and I want to just remember Boone and his family who were all there to acknowledge his participation as well.
I would add that I worked a four-hour shift at the 24-hour relay, and so that would make it about my 27th year, I think, of working there, something like that. No, I'm teasing. I've been there, but I've worked there at 7 years all night, and then going back when I get a call for a shift, although I have limited my times to between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. But it just had a great feel about it this year. It was really wonderful. It was, as usual, wonderful to see the kids and to hang out and listen to the music, and it brought back, in fact, I went home and texted both of my kids and said, this reminded me of how much fun it was to do all these things with you. It was really great. I wanted to say I attended the Million Word Reader event at C.L. Smith, and it was wonderful. All these 4th, 5th, and 6th graders being honored for their reading throughout the year, and they played bingo that they had made up with either titles of books or names of authors, and they had made the bingo boards, and they were having a great time. There was an ice cream sundae party afterwards, and also attended with Mr. Robinette the coffee with the principal out at Monarch Grove, where, as you know, we have received some letters over the last few months about class size and combination classes. And that was the discussion item for that meeting. And I feel that between Mrs. Storm and Mr. Robinette, the parents were put at ease a little bit, or have a greater understanding of how these decisions are made and how the district operates and how we truly are all about the kids. So those were all useful events for me and hopefully for the families as well. Mr. Quisenberry.
Well, I want to thank Laguna Middle School for giving this lovely collection anthology of poetry, and I want to thank the students and the teachers, specifically Nancy Bedrigian, Sandra Del Martini, Vanetta Negranti, Raleigh Regier, Lindy Singsmall, and the Laguna PTA for their continued dedication and commitment to poetry, and I'm looking forward to reading all these wonderful poems.
You'll enjoy it.
I almost forgot one thing. So I was able to go to Morro Bay High School's open house this week just briefly because of all the other open houses that we had to get to. But I did get to hear Colleen Wall's choral group perform, and no wonder they were chosen for this honor that they've received and this opportunity to travel to New York. They were just fantastic, and so I have to acknowledge them. And and the flutophone players at Sinsheimer, all the little kids learning to play the flutophone. That's what we called it in my day. Sorry, recorders. They were playing recorders, right? That was adorable as well.
Right. Anything else? Right. We are. We will see you again on, I guess the next time is at the study session on June 19th. Thank you very much.
Good job.